After these things, Jesus showed himself again to the disciples of the Sea of Tiberias, and on this wise showed he himself. There were together Simon Peter and Thomas called Didymus, and Nathanael of Cana in Galilee, and the two sons of Zebedee, and two other of his disciples. Simon Peter saith unto them, I go a-fishing. They say unto him, We also go with thee. They went forth and entered into a ship immediately, and that night they caught nothing. But when the morning was now come, Jesus stood on the shore, but the disciples knew not that it was Jesus. Then Jesus said unto them, Children, have ye any meat? They answered him, No. And he said unto them, Cast the nets on the right side of the ship, and ye shall find. They cast therefore, and now they were not able to draw it for the multitude of fishes. Therefore that disciple whom Jesus loved saith unto Peter, It is the Lord. Now when Simon Peter heard that it was the Lord, he girt his fisher's coat unto him, for he was naked, and did cast himself into the sea. The other disciples came in a little ship, for they were not far from land, but as it were 200 cubits, dragging the net with fishes. As soon then as they were come to land, they saw a fire of coals there, and fish laid thereon, and bread. Jesus said unto them, Bring of the fish which ye have now caught. Simon Peter went up and threw the net to land full of great fishes, 153, and for all there were so many, yet was not the net broken. Jesus said unto them, Come and dine. And none of the disciples durst ask him, Who art thou? Knowing that it was the Lord. Jesus then cometh and taketh bread and giveth them, and fish likewise. This is now the third time that Jesus showed himself to the disciples, his disciples, after that he was risen from the dead. So when they had dined, Jesus saith to Simon Peter, Simon, son of Jonas, lovest thou me more than these? He saith unto him, Yea, Lord, thou knowest that I love thee. He saith unto him, Feed my lambs. He saith to him again the second time, Simon, son of Jonas, lovest thou me? He saith unto him, Yea, Lord, thou knowest that I love thee. He saith unto him, Feed my sheep. He saith unto him the third time, Simon, son of Jonas, lovest thou me? Peter was grieved because he said unto him the third time, Lovest thou me? And he said unto him, Lord, thou knowest all things. Thou knowest that I love thee. Jesus said unto him, Feed my sheep. Verily, verily, I say unto thee, when thou wast young, thou girdest thyself and walkest whither thou wouldest. But when thou shalt be old, thou shalt stretch forth thy hands, and another shall gird thee, and carry thee whither thou wouldest not. This spake he, signifying by what death he should glorify God. And when he had spoken this, he saith unto him, Follow me. Then Peter, turning about, seeth a disciple whom Jesus loved following, which also leaned on his breast at supper, and said, Lord, which is he that betrayeth thee? Peter, seeing him, saith to Jesus, Lord, and what shall this man do? Jesus saith unto him, If I will that he tarry till I come, what is that to thee? Follow thou me. Then went this saying abroad among the brethren that the disciple should not die. Yet Jesus said not unto him, He shall not die, but if I will that he tarry till I come, what is that to thee? This is the disciple which testifieth of these things and wrote these things, and we know that his testimony is true. And there are also many other things which Jesus did, the which of them should be written, every one. I suppose that even the world itself could not contain the books that should be written. Amen. Let's bow together in prayer, please. Father in heaven, we thank thee for this portion of thy word that we've read together this morning. We bless thee for thy word. Thy word is truth. We praise thee for its power, its might. And Lord, as we come to study it later on in the service, may we forget about everything else. May we be taken up with thy word and with the Savior. And may every man and woman and girl and boy present here today leave this place with the testimony in their hearts, it was good for me to have been here. Lord, we pray that thou thyself would take a dealing with them. Be pleased, Lord, to speak to the lost.
Those that may not be converted, still in their sins, still without Christ, on the way to a lost, burning hell. Have mercy upon them, Lord. Give them grace to accept Christ as their Savior today. And those, Lord, who are saved, but maybe have erred, maybe have gone back from their first love, let them see, Lord, where they've made the mistake. Let them remember from whence they have fallen.
May they repent and do the first works.
And, O our Father in heaven, the backslider, the open backslider, bring them back again, we pray. And our Father, may Christians be blessed and edified. O Father, we long that Thou Thyself will take this meeting in Thy control. May everything that's said and done redound to Thine honor and glory. And we pray that the Lord Jesus Christ would have the preeminence. We do thank Thee for the Savior. We do praise Thee once more that we're found here, the living, to praise Thee. A body out of the grave and a soul out of hell. Lord, we've got more gospel opportunities. This one in this meeting, Lord. Maybe, Lord, no more after the opportunities of this hour. Maybe this will be the last time we'll hear the gospel call. Help us, Lord, then, to seek the Lord while He may be found, to call upon Him while He is near. So still our hearts. Undertake for everything in this meeting, and grant that the flesh will have no part in it, but that Christ in all His glory may be seen, and that He may be magnified here today. We ask it in His name and for His sake. Amen. We're turning again to John 21. As Dr. Gingrey was saying, this is my last Sunday here. The time has gone so quickly. And tonight will be the final service. It is a bring-a-friend night service. And we do hope that every one of you will endeavor to be back again this evening. Back in our country, if people don't come back on Sunday night, and they come just on Sunday morning, you see, it's the proper thing to do to come to church on Sunday morning. But then, don't bother coming back on Sunday night unless you've got some convictions, that is, and you believe that you should be in God's house on the Sabbath night. But we call such people SMOs, S-M-O, Sunday morning only. So don't you be a SMO. You try and get back again this evening and endeavor to bring somebody with you, because this is a bring a friend night service, and I'll be preaching on the subject entitled The Best Friend of All. Now, we're turning to John 21, and let's bow together in prayer, please. Father, we come now again to the preaching of the Word of God. And once more, we pray that the Word of God would have free course and be glorified. Fill this preacher with the power of the Holy Ghost to declare the unsearchable riches of Christ, and bless the Word to everyone's heart. In Jesus' name we ask. Amen. This chapter that we read, John's Gospel, chapter 21, it is one of the post-resurrection appearances of the Lord Jesus Christ. The Lord Jesus had appeared on a number of occasions to different people and to His disciples. But on this particular occasion, to me, I find that there's a wealth of instruction, Bible instruction, and I believe a wealth of blessing. I never preach upon this or read or think about this chapter, John 21. But I be blessed when I think of the graciousness and the love and the compassion of the Lord Jesus Christ. And we're going to notice this chapter. We're going to go down it together and notice a few things about the Lord. And first of all, I want us to notice His presence. Now, let's read these verses again, but we'll take our time this time. The presence of the Lord is what we're thinking of. Look at verse 1. After these things, Jesus showed Himself again to the disciples at the Sea of Tiberias. Now, that's just another name for the Sea of Galilee. Galilee was the Jewish name for it, and the Tiberias was the Roman name for it. And on this wise showed He Himself. There were together Simon Peter and Thomas called Didymus and Nathanael of Cana in Galilee and the sons of Zebedee and two other of His disciples. Seven of them all together, if you've counted. Simon Peter saith unto them, I go a-fishing. They say unto him,
we also go with thee.
You know, that was something that looks very much like they ought not to have done. They were not told to go back to the fishing. They were told to go a certain place and wait for the Lord Jesus Christ. But because they were getting impatient, especially Peter, he was the ringleader in this. And Peter says, I'm going a fishing. Well, Paul said in another place, if I build again the things that I have destroyed, I make myself a transgressor. And Peter on one occasion said to the Lord, he says, Lord, we have left all this to follow thee. He had given it up. Now he ought not to have been going back. This was a sign of his backsliding. Now we're not being too hard on Peter. We know he's a great man. Thank God for him. But you remember in Matthew 26 and other chapters related to the crucifixion of Christ just before the crucifixion? You remember how Peter arrogantly and conceitedly said that he would go with the Lord to the death. But then that little maid and the servants of the high priest scared him and he denied the Lord. And you remember that the Bible says he went out and wept bitterly. So Peter had gotten out of fellowship and he had put in a miserable 3 days, maybe more than 3 days now, because of his failure to go through with God. He was self-confident and presumptuous and he had got his eyes on the Lord. My dear friend, if you're out of touch with the Lord and out of fellowship with Him, you can lead others astray. Because Peter says, I go a-fishing. And these fellows says, we'll go with you, Peter. And the whole lot of them went fishing. And you know what happened? They caught nothing that night. They put in a fruitless, barren night. A night of toil. A night of frustration. Nothing to show for it. But then look at verse 4. But when the morning was now come, Jesus stood on the shore. But the disciples knew not that it was Jesus. But he was still there. He came to the place where they had the frustration and the need. And you know, whenever he came, it was morning. And whenever the Lord Jesus Christ reveals his presence to a backslidden, or a cold, or a hard-hearted, or a wayward believer, and he's coming to bless them, he always brings the morning. You remember Hagar, whenever Sarah had put her out, Hagar had headed into the wilderness and she sat down a lonely, heartbroken woman. And the angel of the Lord revealed himself to her and spake comfortably to her. Yes, the Lord appeared just at the point of her need. You remember whenever Joshua was sizing up the city of Jericho, he was looking around it. He says, how are we going to get this fortified city raised to the ground? What a problem. The first big obstacle on the way to the promised land once they crossed the river Jordan. But as he was standing there, the captain of the Lord's host came. And just whenever Joshua needed encouragement the most, the Lord was there. Elijah was a great man. He was a free Presbyterian. He smote the apostates and took a stand for God. Elijah was a man of like passions as we are, the Bible says. But Elijah got discouraged. Elijah had that ordeal on Mount Carmel when he contended for the faith. And then he went away up to higher into the mountain and prayed and pleaded with the Lord. And then he ran back from Carmel to Jezreel. The man was exhausted. And then he heard that Jezebel was looking for his life because of what he had done to her false prophets and her religion. And then he fled for his life. And he sat down under a juniper tree in the wilderness and he says, let me die. But just whenever Elijah needed encouragement, just whenever the darkness had gathered, the Lord revealed himself. And he put his child asleep and he gave him a feed. Give him a good feed. And I tell you this, Elijah was comforted and refreshed. I think of the Apostle Paul. He was fearless. He was bold. He loved the Lord. He was an earnest contender for the faith. But he found himself in hot water, as what you will if you're going to earnestly contend for the faith very often. And this man was in prison.
and it seemed like he was discouraged. He had had a rough time. And the voice of the Lord came, the angel of the Lord. It was the Lord Jesus said, "Fear not, Paul. I have many people in this city." He said that on one occasion. But on another occasion, whenever he was lying in jail, he says, "Paul, as thou hast borne witness of me in Jerusalem, so shalt thou bear testimony to me in Rome." Oh, my dear friend, that cheered him. And whenever Mary Magdalene, just after the resurrection, stood there gazing into the empty tomb, and then the voice said, "Whom seekest thou?" And she, supposing the voice to come from the gardener, said, "If you've taken him away, show me where you've led him." And the voice said, "Mary." And she says, "Rabboni, Master, my, the darkness has dispelled. The Lord had revealed himself." My dear man or woman, saved or unsaved, if you're a Christian, let me take you Christians for a moment. If you've come into this meeting with a burden or a trial or a problem, then the Lord is here. He's willing to bless you. And the darkness will scatter if you let Christ have his way. You're not saved in this meeting. You're not saved in this meeting today. Let me say this. You've come in with a broken heart. You've come in with uncertainty. You can't understand life. There are problems in life. There are heartbreaks. Well, we all have them. But you seem to be having more than your share of them. My dear friend, there's a Savior here who's willing to save you from all sin. Will you let him have his way? Will you let him now take your life and mold it and let him be your Savior? The presence of the Lord. Remember, where two or three are gathered together in my name, he says, there am I in the midst. He's in this meeting this morning. But let's move on to something else about the blessed Lord. Look at verse 5. John 21, verse 5. Then Jesus said unto them, "Children, have ye any meat?" They answered him, "No." And he said unto them, "Cast the net on the right side of the ship, and ye shall find." They cast therefore, and now they were not able to draw it for the multitude of fishes. You know, this is very interesting. You see, it's a very wonderful and profitable study to study the Lord Jesus Christ in various places. Let me tell you this. You notice the places in the Bible where Christ was associated by the Sea of Galilee. You'll notice that he taught the disciples. You'll notice that he taught the multitudes. You'll notice that he called the disciples to be followers of him. You'll notice that. That's by the Sea of Tiberias, by the Sea of Galilee. And you'll notice something else. You'll notice what he did above the Sea of Galilee. One night there was a storm in the Sea of Galilee, and the Lord Jesus was fast asleep. And the disciples thought that he didn't care. The disciples thought they were going to drown. And they said, "Master, carest thou not that we perish?" And the Lord rose up, and what a picture. I can see him as he stands there. I can see him as his garments are flowing in the breeze, and that ship's reeling and tossing and turning, and it's going down into the waters, it's filling up, and it's coming up out of them again. And the disciples, hard fishermen who are used to the sea, but on this occasion they're scared. I can see them, and I can see the Lord standing there, calm and serene. And he says, "Peace, be still." And the wind above the Sea of Galilee ceases. And the wind that had caused the waves to whip up, those waves have lain down. And there's peace. The Lord did something above the Sea of Galilee. But then you notice on another occasion what he did on the Sea of Galilee. He walked on the waters toward the disciples. In this particular verse that we're looking at, verse 5, verse 6, these two verses, something he did under the Sea of Galilee. He brought the fish in that lake right into the net that the disciples had set aside. Now, my dear friend, these disciples are pictures of Christians who are soul winning. And I trust that every one of us here are soul winning, that we're endeavoring to get people converted, to bring them into this church, and to get every available space crammed packed so that this place is a bit too small for the crowds, but more than that they will get converted.
But I tell you this, there are times whenever men and women who are fishing for souls can get discouraged. Like these disciples, they toil all night. Maybe that night may last for days and weeks and months and catch nothing. But I want to tell you, the power of the Lord Jesus Christ is available for you. Now, notice what we have got to do. First of all, we ought to make sure that we are doing our soul winning at the instruction and the direction of the Lord Jesus Christ. The Lord said, put the net down on the right side of the ship. Let's seek the Lord for whom we should go. Let's say, Lord, show me who I can talk to this week. Show me who I can win for Thee. Lay somebody in my heart and let me love them into the kingdom of heaven. Let me pray them into the kingdom of heaven. Let me witness to them into the kingdom of heaven. Let's get our directions from the Lord. And then notice something else. Notice that the Lord Jesus... Thank you, dear. Thank you very much. Notice that the Lord Jesus Christ on this occasion told them to put the net in. You know, I believe that we're facing in these days a lot of people who have got spiritual pride. They say, I know all the theology there is, and salvation's all of grace. And if men are going to be saved, they'll be saved no matter what I do. Friend, you have the responsibility of preaching the gospel to them. Don't make theology an excuse for your laziness. And don't think that you know it all, because we don't. The Lord Jesus Christ said, go ye into all the world and preach the gospel to every creature. Certainly the Lord saves the people, but He uses human instrumentality. And let's make sure that we do put the net into the water at the right side of the ship. And let's not put down our spiritual knowledge of doctrines and say, well, the Lord will save those who are going to be saved, and I don't need to worry about it. The Lord uses the means as well as to fulfill the end. If you're sick and you get a prescription from the doctor, you don't say, well, the Lord knows whether I'm going to live or die and how long I'm going to live. I'm not bothered taking this prescription. You try to hold on to life as long as possible. So let's get this gospel net out and get it into the waters. And if it seems that we're fishing in a difficult area, the Lord will bring the fish into the net for us. And He'll bring the people into this place, and God will bless this place in the coming day. And we'll look forward to hearing over in Ulster the great things what the Lord is doing in this congregation and in this church in Greenville. You can see the power of the Lord. You can see the presence of the Lord. But did you notice something else in this passage? Did you notice His provision for the disciples? Look at verse 9. As soon as they were come to land, they saw a fire of coals there, and fish laid thereon and bread. Fish and bread. Jesus said unto them, bring of the fish which ye have now caught. Isn't that lovely? You know, I think that's beautiful. You see, it was the Lord that brought the fish into the net. It was the Lord that told them where to let the net down. They had toiled all night and caught nothing, but the Lord says, you do it my way. And then whenever the fish were caught, He says, bring of the fish that you caught. And you know, whenever people are saved, we know that it's the Lord that saves them. Salvation is of the Lord. But He'll say, these are the people that you won. These are the people that you led to me. It's just the graciousness of the Lord, how He encourages us and how He blesses us in this business of soul winning. But look at verse 11. Simon Peter went up and drew the net to land full of great fishes, 153, and for all there were so many, it was not the net broken. Jesus saith unto them, come and dine. Now mark that, come and dine. Verse 13. Jesus then cometh and taketh bread and giveth them, and fish likewise. Wouldn't you have loved to have been there? Look at those disciples. Peter away out of fellowship with the Lord, a miserable specimen during these days. And the other disciples had followed suit whenever they had gone fishing. And they were paying the price of getting out of the will of the Lord for a time. And there they were,
hungry and tired and no fish, but then the Lord suddenly gives a revival and there's fish that come to the net from all arts and parts of the waters of Galilee. And more than that, the Lord has even got a meal prepared for them. My fish and bread, there he is, he's been looking after us. And whenever we've been toiling out in the sea, the Lord's been caring for us here. And my dear friend, whenever you're going through the storms of life now, the Lord is preparing a feast for you. Do you know how the Lord prepares a feast for us people? Tell me, friend, do you take time to read the Bible every day and pray? Do you get before Him and say, Lord, speak to me and bless me? Show me some wee thing here that I can think about and that can be a great blessing to the soul. Oh, my dear friend, there are times that I've been with the Lord and there's things very, very precious that have happened. Things that you could hardly tell anyone about. So sacred and so precious are they. What a Savior. Anybody that's had that experience knows what this preacher's talking about today. That's how the Lord feeds you on His Word. The Bible says, as newborn babes desire the sincere milk of the Word, that ye may grow thereby. I remember, whenever I was a student minister in Omaha, I was finished my studies in the theological hall and I was faced with making a decision whether to stay in Omaha or to go to Portadown. I had two calls, one from the Omaha congregation and one from Portadown. And I did not know what to do. I did not want to step out of the will of God. And I can remember I was away all day and I came home late one night at 11 and I was tired and weary, but I couldn't go to bed. And I prayed right through to 3 o'clock and I read the scriptures and, Lord, will you give me an answer? And I couldn't get that answer. And I had to give my answer to the presbytery the next night or else wait for another month. And I couldn't envisage going through another month of what I was going through. And I can remember the next day, still no answer. And then in the afternoon, there was a little gleam of light. Now is the accepted time. And I was reading in the book of 1st and 2nd Corinthians. And the Lord was saying, I'm going to let you know today. I knew that He was going to let me know. And then later on in the afternoon, things began to open up. And I tell you, the presbytery was at 8 o'clock. And I had to leave at 7 o'clock. And around 4 o'clock, I didn't know what my answer was going to be. And I went down into the church. And I got before the Lord again with the Bible open and prayed and pleaded and read. And then all of a sudden, it opened up, it unfolded, and the burden of my heart rolled off, and the Lord, through His Word, showed me what I should do. You said, preacher, that's guidance, that's right. But I was being fed and being strengthened in the faith through the Word of God and prayer. The Lord prepares a feast. Whenever you come to this midweek Bible study and prayer meeting, Wednesday by Wednesday, the Lord has got a feast for you. I cannot understand. I never could understand why so many people who profess to be saved, who love the Lord, they can find time on Wednesday night or whatever night their prayer meeting's on for running off to other type of meetings, for running off to games, for they may say they're too busy, but they'll find time to do other things. But they'll do everything. In fact, you think that they thought it was a sin to come to the prayer meeting on Wednesday night. Some people would shun it like a plague. Don't be like that. Get to the prayer meeting, because whenever God's Word is opened up, and whenever the preacher's expounding, and even though he may not be expounding, even with you just reading it, God can speak to your heart and thrill your soul and feed you. You get a feed in the quiet time, alone with the Lord at home. You get a feed whenever you're at the midweek prayer meeting Bible study. Whenever we sit down at the Lord's table, the Lord prepares a feast for us. I always take pains to make this clear. Don't think that the bread turns into the body of Christ. Don't think that the wine turns into His blood. That is popery. That is Romanism. That is blasphemy. That is not in the Scripture. Those things just remain as they are. They are just memorials. The bread is still bread. The wine is still wine.
But whenever the child of God is sitting around there and remembering the Lord's death as the Lord wanted him to do it, the Lord comes and strengthens and blesses. My dear friend, let the Lord provide for you. We're living in a day of famine. We are living in a day of worldliness whenever, even among evangelical Christians, the emphasis is not on the preaching and the studying of the Word of God at all. Let's get to this book and let's be fed and provided for. I want you to notice something else about the Lord here. His blessed person. Look at verse 15. So when they had dined, We'll take his pardon first. I want to talk about his person in a moment. I want you to notice his pardon in verse 15. So when they had dined, Jesus said to Simon Peter, Simon, son of Jonas, lovest thou me more than these? And if you read on down to verse 17, you'll find that he said it three times. Now I want to stop there for a moment. Why did he do it three times? I think you know, because Peter denied him three times. Now, would you notice that even though Peter had got out of fellowship with God, he really loved the Savior? Would you look there at verse 7? There, we'll come back to those other verses. Verse 7, therefore that disciple whom Jesus loved said unto Peter, it's the Lord. Now, when Simon Peter heard that it was the Lord, he girt his fisher's coat unto him, for he was naked, and did cast himself into the sea. Why? When he realized it was the Lord, he wanted to get to the Lord as soon as possible. And Christian, I know that even though you may be a backslider today, even though you may be far from the Lord, deep down in your heart, you can remember the hours of peace and joy. There's still a feeling and a longing for the Lord to get back. Be like Peter. Because the Lord can pardon you. Now let's look at these verses. Verse 15. So when they had dined, you'll notice that the Lord wasn't too quick to put the rod on. You know, sometimes whenever somebody does wrong, we jump in. We jump in without compassion. Well, the Lord wasn't in too big a hurry here. He knew that he had Peter, but he was waiting for the right moment. He gave him provision first. And he says, now Peter, I want to talk to you. And so he took Peter to one side and he says, Peter, do you love me more than these? Now, let's notice this carefully. Look at his answer. Yeah, Lord, thou knowest that I love thee. He didn't say, thou knowest that I love thee more than these. Now, these were the other disciples. And the Lord Jesus says, Peter, do you love me more than the other disciples? Peter didn't say, yes, I love you more than the other disciples. He just said, I love you. Peter was learning his lesson. If you read Matthew 26, you'll find that he was lording it over the other disciples. He says, even though these deny you or run away from you, I'll still be here. I'll go with you to the death. Oh, but Peter's learned his lesson now. Now, let me point this out to you. See that word, lovest? Simon, son of Jonas, lovest thou me more than these? In the original, that's a real strong word for love. He says, Peter, you really love me. You look at how Peter answered, yeah, Lord, thou knowest that I love thee. You see that second word, love. That's not the same word in the Greek, in the original. That's a weaker word. It means affection. Not as strong as the other word. So Peter was even afraid to say that he loved the Lord the way that the Lord was asking him. Peter's learning his lesson. Then the Lord Jesus said, feed my lambs. Now verse 16. He said to him again the second time, Simon, son of Jonas, lovest thou me? There's the strong word for love. He said unto him, yea, Lord, thou knowest that I love thee. That's the weaker word. He said unto him, feed my sheep. And the third time, he said unto him the third time, Simon, son of Jonas, lovest thou me? Peter was grieved because he said unto him the third time, lovest thou me? And he said unto him, Lord, thou knowest all things. Thou knowest that I love thee. Jesus said unto him, feed my sheep. Isn't this pardon lovely, friend? Maybe you feel the Lord. Maybe you've gotten out of fellowship. The Lord just wants to take you aside for a wee minute this morning. He says, do you still love me? I want to forgive you. I want to take you back. And I'll tell you something else. He's willing to
bring you back into the service again. He says, Peter, you feed my sheep and my lambs. You rule over them. You look after them. You care for them. You protect them. That's what he was saying. You lead them. Be careful. Compassionate with them. There's hope for you, friend. The Word of God says, I will restore to you the years that the locust hath eaten. Come every soul by sin oppressed. There's mercy with the Lord, and He will surely give you rest by trusting in His Word. Let's notice the person of the Lord here. I trust you're following. We've seen His presence. We've seen His power. We've seen His provision. We have seen His part. And look at the person. I think this is tremendous. Verse 17. He said unto him the third time, Simon, son of Jonas, lovest thou me? Peter was grieved because he said unto him the third time, lovest thou me? And he said unto him, Lord, thou knowest all things. I stop there for a moment. Thou knowest all things. Peter knew the Lord on him. He knew that he was God. Do you know something? The Lord knows everything that's going through your mind and your heart right now. The Lord knows all about it. I tell you this, the Lord Jesus Christ has got unlimited knowledge. He's omniscient. This is an attribute of deity. Now just cast your mind back through John's Gospel for a minute. Do you remember whenever the Lord Jesus said concerning Nathanael, He says, Behold, an Israelite indeed, in whom there's no guile. And Nathanael says, how did he know that? How did he know? And the Lord says, Before you were under the fig, before you came, I saw you under the fig tree. And Nathanael was amazed. You remember the next chapter, John chapter 2, that says that many people believed on him when they saw his miracles. But Jesus didn't commit himself unto them because he knew what was in man. He knew they were only making an outward profession. They were only lured to him or attracted to him because of the miracles. You know, some people hang around the Lord whenever the Lord's doing great things, or around the church whenever great things are happening. But whenever that church is struggling, out of some lean times, they'll head off. They'll flit around like a butterfly. The Lord doesn't commit Himself to people like that. You remember John chapter 4. The Lord must needs go through Samaria. Well, what was the imperative there? The shorter way was to go another way, but this time He must needs go through Samaria. Why? There was a woman He had to lead out of her sin into Himself. And He sat down at Jacob's well and He talked with the woman of Samaria. And he was winning her to Himself, and He says, Woman, go call thy husband. And she says, I have no husband. He says, You've well said. He says, You have five husbands and the one that you're living with is not your husband now. And she says, Sir, are you a prophet? The Lord knew all about her. He knows all things. John chapter 6. He looked at the multitude, 5,000 men, let alone women and children, 5,000 men. And he says to Philip, where are we going to feed this crowd? And Philip says, Lord, 200 pennyworth is not going to feed these. But the Bible says Jesus Himself knew what He would do. And do you remember what it says in John 19, whenever He was hanging on the cross and the blood was flowing from His head and His hands and His feet? Mind you, He was in weakness. That sun was beaming unrelentlessly down upon him. His body was emaciated with pain. His body was bruised and broken. His visage marred more than any man's. You would have thought he might have been losing his senses. But it says in the Scriptures, John 19, Jesus, knowing that all things were accomplished, that the Scripture might be fulfilled, saith, I thirst. His mind was clear. He knew the Old Testament prophecies concerning Him were being fulfilled. But here was one that had yet to be fulfilled. And so He says, I thirst. He knows all things. And didn't He know where the fish were under the waters? And didn't He bring them into the nets? What a Savior. That's the Savior. And my dear Christian, don't you be afraid of tomorrow. Don't be afraid of inflation.
Don't be afraid of the economic crisis. Don't be afraid of all the troubles of life, because the Lord Jesus Christ knows all about them. And if you're a Christian at all, if you're a child of God, if you have faith in Christ, if you're born again, if you're saved and redeemed with the precious blood, you're the Lord's concern. He has undertaken to look after you. Seek ye first the kingdom of God and His righteousness, and all these things shall be added unto you. That's what the Lord Jesus said. What a person. Thank God He's my Savior. And I mean that with all my heart. Is He your Savior? Can I notice one thing? And we're nearly finished. Would you look at His prediction? Verse 18. This is after He had restored Peter. Verily, verily, I say unto thee, when thou wast young, thou girdest thyself, and walkest whither thou wouldest. But when thou shalt be old, thou shalt stretch forth thy hands, and another shall gird thee, and carry thee whither thou wouldest not. This spake he, signifying by what death he should glorify God. He says, Peter, I have forgiven you. I've recommissioned you. But I want to tell you, you're going to die a violent death one day. I'm letting you know how you're going to die. Do you know something, friend? The Lord Jesus Christ knows how this preacher's going to die. I'm not going to worry about it. He knows whether I'll have a heart attack or some incurable disease or be struck down with an assassin's bullet or a car accident. Well, that is, if he tarries, he may come back before I die. But if he tarries, he knows how you're going to die. He knows whether you're going to be laid on a bed of sickness for years. He knows all about that. But let me tell you something. You can glorify God in your death. You might say, preacher, I can't preach. I can't even sing. I can't teach a Sunday school class. What can I do for the Lord? You can live the Christian life for Him. And even in your deathbed, you can bring glory to the Lord even then. Thank God we can glorify Him in death. But there's something else. He'll give you a second chance if you feel, even to die for Him. Let me explain that. Archbishop Cranmer, one of the great reformers, he was a man, there's no archbishop like him today, unfortunately. But Archbishop Cranmer was a Protestant. And he was brought before the popish authorities because he would not bow to popery or the mass. But something happened. He went through such agony that he recanted. He gave in to his persecutors. And you know, he was a miserable man after that. If he had agony before, he had agony of mind that he had let the Lord down. And so after a time, he went to the authorities and he says, I take back everything I said. I'm against Pope and the popery and the mass and the whole popish religion. And they were up in arms. And they got him out and they hurled him to the stake and they fastened him there and they put the fagots up around him. And whenever the flames were burning, he held out his hand and he says, Lord, let this hand burn first. This was the hand that signed the recantation. Take it first. And he died a wonderful death, bringing glory to the Lord, much to the dismay of Pope. My dear friend, even though you failed, whenever a crisis has arrived and you have boasted much but you failed, the Lord can give you another chance. May God grant that, as old John Bunyan said, it's not how we begin, it's how we end. May every one of us end well. Just let me say something else, and with this we finish. Look at his precept. Look at verse 20. Then Peter, turning about, seeth the disciple whom Jesus loved, following, which also leaned on his breast at supper, and said, Lord, which is he that betrayeth thee? Peter saying himself to Jesus, Lord, and what shall this man do? He was concerned about John. This is the disciple whom Jesus loved. Peter had been restored, recommissioned. The Lord had predicted how he was going to die. And then Peter says, Lord, what about John? And look at what the Lord said. Jesus said unto him, verse 22, if I will that he tarry till I come, what is that to thee? Follow thou me. Nicely, tactfully, firmly, he says, Peter, mind your own business. You just follow me. Don't you worry about these other people.
Now, my dear hearer, never you mind about anybody else in this meeting. You might say, boy, that was good for somebody else in this meeting. Boy, it's a pity somebody wasn't here this morning, that would have done them good. Never mind about anybody else in the meeting. Never mind about the people who are not here. What about you? Are you going to follow the Lord? Are you going to say, Lord, though nobody else goes through with thee, that's between them and thyself, I, by thy grace, will stand for thee. I'm going through with thee, Lord. Oh, may God give us the grace, every one of us, to do that today. I trust that this congregation find God for you in the coming days, that you'll go forward and that you'll say, Lord, I'll follow thee. And if you're not a Christian, oh, I plead with you, would you get saved today? Would you ask the dear Lord Jesus into your heart? Say, Lord, save me today. Give me this peace. Give me this joy. Give me this salvation. And let me be a follower of thine. May God bless you.